Great. Welcome to the Sunday night. There is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find previous podcasts of this meeting and a place to donate to keep this special service active. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep up the special service. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Jen A., a compulsive overeater from Colorado.
Thank you so much, Bobby, for leading this meeting. And thanks for everyone who's done service reading Steps and Traditions today. And thank you, Jessica, for your patience with me in coming to speak. I thought it was yesterday and panicked. That's why I'm sitting in my car today, is because I have a house full of sleeping teenagers who went to prom last night, who were taking an afternoon nap. So I thought I better just beeline out of there and keep it safe in the vehicle. Thank you for having me. My name is Jen A, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I also qualify as an anorexic, bulimic, exercise bulimic. I did all that stuff, right? I compulsively overate. My highest weight was over 230 pounds. I stopped weighing myself after that, but I just knew I couldn't fit my feet into shoes, only Birkenstocks. I had outgrown any size 14, 16, 18 pant, and I was wearing my husband's clothes, and he was 6 foot five and 200 pounds. So that's how I got away with that. I qualify for this program because I ate like you ate. I think like you think. I know that when I got to these rooms, I identified in. So welcome to the newcomer. If there are any that have gotten on the line later, welcome back to Therese. I'm glad that you're here. It's really the only safe place I know where I can share authentically what my real story is and who I really am. Because I will just say, outside of the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, besides my family and loved ones who know about my disease, the obsession, the allergy, I do wear a mask sometimes, and that's just to protect my anonymity, because not everybody needs to know my stuff, right? But this is a safe place. I came into the rooms in April of 2016. I did not get recovered or find myself recovered until 2017. I went through a sponsor. I thought I did the work. I wrote out a fifth step that looked like a personal story and history and gave it to her for 2 days in a row. She was very lovely and very nice, but I didn't follow the guidelines in the solution in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. But when I needed a solution, and that's why I love the name of your meeting, I went to an AA meeting. I had finally bottomed out. I had binged on in seven convenience stores, and wrappers and pastry bags and boxes were all over the floor in my car. And my car door was open. I had a toothbrush down my throat. I was throwing up. And I was thinking to myself, I'll just go back to the OA meeting. Nobody will know if I throw it all up. That's just to the point where I had gotten binging, restricting, over-exercising. I was the thinnest girl in the room, but I was dying. And so that night I called a man on the phone, and I said to him, I said, I need help. And you're in my meetings. And he said, yes. And I said, I need a sponsor. And he said, okay. And I said, what should I do? And he said, get to a meeting. And just so you know, I mean, this was before Zoom. This was almost 9 years or 8 years and 9 years ago. So I said, what meeting do I go to? And he goes, well, you'll go to a meeting every Saturday with me. We'll meet at Panera Bakery for 1 hour before and attend the meeting together. But until then, you need to find another meeting. Zoom didn't exist. Nothing, phone meetings. I mean, there might have been some, but it wasn't like I didn't know of any. So I went to open AA meetings, and the one I picked was called There's a Solution. Is it odd or is it God? And what I love about the solution in this big book is it says on page 17 in chapter 2, it says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who are once just as hopeless as Bill or just as hopeless as me." And that's what I have to remember, is that everybody out there was at one time as hopeless as I was. And we walk into a room and we sit down in a seat and we get membership. And membership is only just a desire. Remember, we had that desire chip. It's really great. You can hold on to it, but eventually you'll eat. What I needed was a big, swift kick in the pants. I wanted to recover and I wanted to solve this drink problem like it talks about in the first paragraph. So how was I going to do it? And I had to follow the instructions of that man and do exactly what he said, go to the meetings, meet with him at Panera. And he took me through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And where there were statements, I turned them into questions. Where there were questions, I answered them. When it told me to take action, I took action. When it said to pray, I prayed the prayer right out of the book. Didn't have to make anything up. Like, it's all written right here. It's the blueprint, right? And this blueprint was going to help me get well, because I saw him well. You know, when I saw him in meetings, he was like almost a 300-pound man. I didn't see that. I saw his pictures. But here he was. He sat before me. He was like thin and looking good, and his life was manageable. And I thought, you know what? If I could be like him, like a swan, just coasting along the top of the water, gliding, looking so beautiful, my life would be great. So I followed his instructions. And the neat thing that I was saying earlier is that we do at the bottom of the page, on page 17, it says, "The tremendous fact for every one of us in these rooms is that we have discovered a common solution." I hope you found the common solution. And the common solution is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I do the steps and then I live the steps. That's how I do it. I can't just go through them and run through them once. You know, and I have a sponsor that guides me, and my sponsor has a sponsor. I talked to my sponsor today. You know, it's been almost 8 years of phone calls with my sponsor, or seeing my sponsor in person, or whatever. You know, that's what I do, because he's the one that's going to give me honest feedback and, you know, show me like how I'm holding my hand in the fire in these situations. It's not the people of the world that wrong me. It's not the upsets that happen that make me eat anymore. It's how I'm living life. I'm living a life according to what Jen wants, Jen thinks, and Jen's going to get. I'm pages 60 to 63. I'm like the actress wanting to run the show, forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the ballet, everything, you know, and I'm in charge. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to order you around and be demanding and be awful and be mean. And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to be cunning and quiet and kind. And that's just who I am. And I learned this. Why? By reading this book, hearing what it said. It was a true depiction of me in every sense of the word. And then from there, I was like, okay, so what's my choice to be? I can follow this or I don't. And it says right here, we have a way out in which we can absolutely agree upon. You can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news that this book carries to those who what? Have an illness of this sort. We come to believe that it is an illness. That is a sickness. I mean, I can't remember what meeting I was in, but they were like, you have an allergy in your body and your mind keeps on thinking, a twist, they called it. And I thought, that's insane. And I went and told my mom, she's a pediatrician. She goes, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then I was like, oh, and they started to read this book and they told me like, once you start, you can't stop and you can't stop from starting, right? I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I want to keep going back to the same awful things over and over again. And I'm quickly to be remorseful on Monday morning saying, I'm not going to do it. I wish I may, I wish I might not take one more stinking bite. Like that was me. And none of that was working for me. So what did I do? I found the solution in an ex-problem overeater. And he won my confidence over. That's what it says to me in the book. And so he was helpful to me. And as he was helpful, he showed me how that I was going to go through the book and admit that I was a compulsive overeater, that my life was unmanageable, and that I needed something bigger than me to handle it. And, you know, he demonstrated that for me. Every week we would sit down and we would write this inventory. And just like when I talked to him today, he's like, yeah, just remember, love and tolerance is our code of others. Cause I'm going through a lot of stuff at work right now. Money that was promised to me for commissions And they gave me $700 out of 10,000. I mean, come on, let's do the math. That's like pennies on the dollar. And I have to decide how much do I want to go through HR and fight for what's right. And still, I'm not going to sit there and lay dormant like a doormat and just take it and be like, oh, but I'm going to be loving and tolerant. Like, there's this fine balance and fine line. And how do I get to that place? I work the steps. I start at step one, two, three, write the inventory at four, five, give it away to my sponsor. Six and seven, ask God to remove the defective character that's standing in the way of my usefulness. And then how do I, like, where do I go? What do I do? Give me thoughts, intuitions, guidance. In that morning meditation, that's what I'm asking for. I need help. I lay there this morning and just garbage stuff goes in and out of my head. And I just say that and I go, okay, Lord, thy will not mine be done. Slide it to the embankment as I'm floating down the stream of unconsciousness. Something else comes into my mind. Thy will not mine be done. Slide it over to the embankment. Get rid of it. I can't deal with that. God's gonna have to do it. And that's how I work this program. And hopefully by me doing this work, I'm able to help guide and direct others. Like, I'm an available sponsor. I'll put my name in the chat. I heard you guys say that. Like, I'd love to guide someone through the big book, and first it starts with helping somebody figure out what their alcoholic foods are and putting those down, or their behaviors, just like it says, and then working the steps. It says abstinence is refraining from compulsive food behaviors and compulsive foods while working towards or maintaining healthy body weight. That's what I have to do. That's what I have to go by, is getting abstinent and working these steps and then living these steps out and then guiding others. That's the only way I'm going to get physical, mental, and spiritual recovery. And that's what I feel like I have today. Is my life perfect? Absolutely not. Is my life easy? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you, I am experiencing the promises and the joys and the miracles. When they say, don't leave until the miracle happens. Like, it's this big tagline at the end of meetings. And you're like, okay, what miracle? And the miracle that I'm experiencing today is that I've gotten to see my 17-year-old daughter go to prom with her boyfriend, her very first boyfriend that she's had for the first time. I get to interact with my ex-husband and his new wife. She's not new. They've been together for multiple years, but I get to interact with them. And then this morning I get to have my whole family, my ex-husband, his wife, we're all there to watch my daughter get baptized at church. There was like 15 of us surrounding her, helping her on her journey to find God. What that looks like, she's gotten into some trouble. I have you sneaking out of the house, doing things that are inappropriate on social media. This is just where we're at in life with a 17-year-old. And I've gotten to work with her dad, and I've gotten to work with her, and today she's working with an accountability person. She gets up. She went to a concert the other night at Red Rocks, got home at 1 a.m., and then got up at 7 a.m. the next morning to meet with her sponsor, right? Her accountability person. And all I can do is chop wood, carry water, and trust God. And I chop wood and I carry water by doing what I'm saying I'm going to do, meeting with my sponsor, doing my inventory, going to my meetings, right? That's what I did this morning. Got on the phone, left the house, let the kids sleep so it's quiet. I go get on my meeting, work with my sponsees when they call at 6 in the morning. Totally inconvenient. I don't know about you, but 6 a.m., I could be doing a lot of other things. But God's given me the ability to help others. That's a gift. And I see it as a gift now. But at first, I was like, what do you people want from me? Right? Like, this is a lot of my time. I'm getting on these meetings, sharing my experience and strength and my hope with others. And then after the baptism today, my whole family went to Starbucks and we all hung out and we got to hang out. I get to be present for my daughter. The mom that I was before, and I was just doing inventory with a sponsee on the phone before this call, before this meeting. And I will just say this, that my sponsee is doing the same behavioral things over and over again. And I remember that. I remember being in that place and doing that inventory. And I just said, if you want to dig deeper, I'm here for you, because you're just going to keep hitting up against the same wall, right? Like, we get to that place and we hit the same wall with inventory over and over again. And God says, you know what? I'm giving you a heart more like mine. Dig a little deeper. Don't have to die, open Pandora's box, but just seek out the ways in which you're holding your hand in the fire. You know, the lies you're omitting, the truths that the lies that you're telling yourself, the truths that you're omitting. Like, that's how I get into really deep inventory with my sponsor. And you know what? My sponsor doesn't let me off. Just saying. Holds me accountable and won't co-sign on my BS. And it's not just a bad story, it's worse than that. It's the real BS is what I'm talking about. You know? So I do believe that there's a solution to this program. It's fact-facing, fact-finding. I'm on this mission and now I'm an agent of God. I've got to continue, like I said, to clean house, trust God, work with others. And I like after the how it works when we stop reading at step 12, it says that many of us exclaimed, "What an order. I can't go through with this." And it says, "Don't be discouraged. No one has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to the principles." It's not talking about your food plan. It's talking about the principles. You know, the principles and the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are honesty, hope, faith, courage, willingness, love, humility. Those are the principles that I'm supposed to stick to. And it says this, we're not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. Are you willing to go grow? I'm willing to grow. That's why I write the inventory. That's why I call my sponsor. That's why I pray. That's why I work with others. He says in here, the principles that we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Don't leave the spiritual out. It's not progress versus, rather than perfection, because it's the spiritual nature of this program. Like when I did inventory this week with my sponsor, one of the things that I said is like, I said, one of the ways in which, I'm asking God to direct me is because I want him to grow me. And I want to be a better guide and a better steward of what's God's given to me. Like he's given me these great skills. I did the most amazing event at work this week, hats off. Like it was phenomenal. But I'm not doing it to get kudos from my boss. I'm not, my boyfriend calls me and said, "You've worked so hard on this event, great job today." And he's giving me kudos. And I looked at him and I said, "You know what? I can't take credit. I got to give credit where credit's due." The reason I'm able to show up with integrity, with humility, with grace today is because of God. And I got to give the credit and give it back to God and say, "You know what, God? You're doing these things for me. You've cleared the channel and the vessel. I'm an instrument of your peace, and let me go forth and be and bear witness and serve God and God's kids." That's spiritual progress. I don't need to be perfect. There's too many inventories. I'm going to tell you, I've been writing the perfect, perfect perfections all over it because I'm a perfectionist. I want to fix, manage, and control people. You know, it says here's the three pertinent ideas though. That you are a compulsive overeater and you cannot manage your life very well, Jennifer. True, I checked the A box. B, that no human power could have relieved your compulsive overeating. Check that box. How do I know I checked it? Because the diets didn't work, the running doesn't work, and all of that didn't work. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. And I'm like, okay, God can and will restore a girl like me if I seek him out, but I have to do that. And so at step three, I have to turn my will and my life over to God. You know, my will is my thinking and my life is my actions. And that's super, super hard for me because I want to take my will back every day. I had the sponsor, he was a sponsee, he was really great. He would call me, he'd be like, "Jen, I took my will back again." I was like, "Oh, good, you're just like me. I did it again today," right? And I'd be sitting, we laughed, but we'd be singing the Britney Spears song, "Oops, I did it again," right? And it was like, I just kept taking my will back. And it was like every morning, every day, every hour, I get to keep going back and saying, "Thy will not mine be done." My sponsor reminded me on a call again today, "You're here to do the will of God." What is that? I don't know. Okay. Well, then just do your best and leave the rest up to him. And he's going to show you where you're off. It's going to come up in your inventory process. And you'll be able with his guidance and his direction to figure it out. And then after step three, we write that inventory. I will just say, like, In step three or step four, I say it's a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It's an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade in me. It's not to figure out what's wrong with everybody else and ev anything else that's going on around me. It's to figure out what's inside of me. Like I just said to my sponsee, if I'm not the problem, there is no solution in this program or this way of life. I've got to be able to take a drastic self-appraisal of myself. I look at the flaws. I look at the things in my makeup that aren't so hot, you know, and I put them on paper and I write them out and I have four columns, right? And I have that sick man's prayer in there to let them off the hook, because God forbid I'm holding that person hostage, you know, the person, place, or institution that I'm pissed off at. And God's like, no, I'm just using them. You know, you go round and round, like throwing punches with them, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hit the brick wall and it's over. And it's like, it's not them anymore, it's you. And you know, from step five, then I get to give it away to somebody. That's the beauty of this program, is like you identify in with people and then you get to give it away to people. And you're also bearing witness not only to another person, but God's hearing you. And God knows your heart, right? He knows mine. And like I said, he's giving me a heart more like his. He used to say it in this little bit children's video about this worm and his cohabitat partner, and they would be talking, and he would like talk to God, and he's like, you know, God, why, God, is this happening to me? And he's like, I'm giving you a heart more like mine. Like he's just like refining you, like a potter molds the clay and then refines it in the hot fire. That's what God's doing to me. And I just thought, just so you know, I spent a lot of years in ministry and the church, and I used to think that God was punishing me, that he hated me, that he was angry at me, that I'd done all these really, really, really bad things. Yeah, and I don't see it that way, because after admitting to God, to myself, and another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, am I willing to believe that God's going to restore me to sanity? That's six and seven. And I say yes. And then I pray that prayer. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that's standing in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do thy bidding. Right? I can't go out and be a channel for God if I'm all mucky and muddy and yucky. So I ask God to just clear the sludge away, get rid of it. And then I turn my thoughts and directions to somebody I can help. That might be an office mate. That might be a little lady pushing her cart and she can't get it back to the front door of the grocery store. I don't know who it's going to be or what it's going to be about, but I ask God to help me see what I need to do. Or maybe it's just, you know, befriending my daughter, coming home and making her dinner after work. I don't know. You know, I constantly just, I ask God, and God will direct me. And then, you know, eight and nine, if I harmed anybody, did I harm anybody? Did I cause harm to someone? I have to be really careful about that, because I used to go around saying sorry, and then sorry ends in why. Why'd you do it? So unless I've actually caused harm and I've harmed someone else with my words, my thoughts, or my actions, then I can sit down with my sponsor after I've done the inventory and I can write it out. And then I can review it with my sponsor. And I used to have this one lady who would do ninth step amends with me. She would be like, okay, read that to me again. Did you hear all of yourself in that statement? Like, are you writing your wrongs, or are you trying to like tell them what they did wrong? And I was like, oh. And so I'd be crossing out all the lines and stuff. And she's like, next time just write it every other line. Like when you were in grammar school and they had you write a paper every other line so you could go back and correct. And that was really good. And then she's like, put the paper down. Now let's role play. And I would be role playing with her. She's like, stop, you're doing it again. And I was like, oh, I'm just telling you, I'm really good at amends now because of that. I mean, she was really hard on me, but I thank God that she was really hard on me, because I would have gone out and just kept making more damage and more sloppy, crappy amends. And I did that. And you know how crappy it is to have to make amends for crappy amends? It's crappy. It's just terrible. I don't want to do that. So, and then, you know, after you've repaired the damage, then you have to stay in 10, 11, and 12. And people always say, well, what's 10, 11, and 12? And there's this man in California, and I don't think he's with us any longer. I'm sad to say that. I think the disease got him after the pandemic, because I haven't heard him anymore. And but he would always be in his hot tub in California, and he would always be like, I'm a CIP in program. I'm like, a CIP, what is that? And I called him one day, said, what is that? He says, you're going to see, continue, I improve, and P practice. It's 10, 11, and 12. Get it straight, sister. That's your job. He's like, do you have a degree with some letters behind it? I go, no. He goes, well, you do now. You're a CIP in Overeaters Anonymous. Wow. Am I excited to tell all you that on this line? That's an estimable thing, you know, like, I'm just so going to go brag to my kids or my coworkers and be like, I'm a CIP in OA, rah, rah, shake my pom poms. It's not attractive. But you know what? It saves my bacon all the time. I got to continue, improve, and practice. And that's 10, 11, and 12. And do I get it perfect? Not every single morning. The other morning, I rolled out of bed and the dog wasn't there. And I was thinking about all the things I had to do before prom. And so I was like, oh, and then I got down to my son's bed that's putting away stuff. And the next thing I know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't get on my knees and pray this morning. I prayed the first step or the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer in bed. But then I always pray upon awakening when I get done. I didn't do that. Dropped right there to my knees. Why? Because I don't need to look perfect in front of you all. I forget sometimes too, right? And so I prayed right there, you know, and chose to meditate later in the day. Lay down on my bed, close my eyes, breathe in for four, hold it for four, out for eight, and travel down that stream of unconsciousness, just pushing things to the shore and asking for God's will to be done because I don't have any way, I don't have the wherewithal to handle it. So yeah, I mean it's not easy,
That's
but
5 minutes, Jen.
oh good, I think I'm almost done anyways. But I just looked at the clock. I'm like, man, I seem to be rattling for quite a while. You all are nice to listen. But yeah, I just, you know, I do this perfectly imperfect. Not the food. I want you to hear me say that right, because that's the message that's going around in my in-person meetings, is that your food can be imperfect. That's not true. I don't get to pick up those alcoholic foods and sit around and eat ice cream with my family. My abstinence is my abstinence, but I'm an imperfect human being who is growing along the lines, you know, of a spiritual change and development. And yeah. And I think with that, I would just like to pass. So I think that's all.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jen. I got so much out of your share. I was busy writing so many notes. That was amazing.